One last rankings show for you. Yes, it is the onesie position, quarterbacks and tight ends. If you get these wrong, you probably lose your week. If you get them correct, bing, bang, boom, there's a W in your war chest. Here we go, Hayden. Your quarterback won this week. No surprise. This is Lamar Jackson against the Detroit Lions.
I don't even know what you can say at this point. He's sensational, and they're projected for the second most points on the week, only behind Josh Allen. He's already played, and I have Lamar Jackson ranked ahead of Josh Allen.
I mean, you're throwing touchdowns to Tylan Wallace and Devontae Walker. You're pretty good at your job. Next, a bit of a surprise here. Now, you did have Josh Allen here in your normal rankings, yep. But since he played on Thursday night, this is where Patrick Mahomes lands for you, okay? Patrick Mahomes is quarterback 4 in consensus rankings. I want to throw some stats in your direction, all right? Because if we got rid of his name and his face, you might think, as Rich Rebrow put in his worksheet, that these were kind of like Justin Fields stats, okay? That's what Patrick Mahomes is doing in terms of his fantasy production right now. I mean, he's 30th in the league in completion percentage at 58.8. He's scrambling at a 15.5% rate through 2 weeks. His previous season high was at 7.6 prior to that. He has 40 more scramble yards than any other quarterback out there. So, Hayden, do we have to have scrambling in order for Patrick Mahomes to be your quarterback too?
Have to? No. Is it helpful? Hell yeah, it's helpful. Most scramble attempts as well at 15. Next closest is at 11. Yeah, they're also projected for the fourth most points this week, 25 and a half. They're playing the Giants defense, which, like, in theory has some players, but the secondary is just, like, not held up at all. It sounds like we're going to get Xavier Worthy back for this one. And they've been, like, moving the ball, and then, like, some unfortunate stuff happens in the red area, obviously with the Travis Kelce one in particular. He's throwing the ball downfield at least a couple times per game now, where that was not the case previously. So there's, like, some signs of life for Patrick Mahomes in fantasy, but the scramble stuff is, it's brand new, but it's really important. And he's never done that before in the regular season, but now they're 0-2 and he doesn't trust everybody else. Like, it does make sense. And he's really good at it whenever he tries to do it.
So totally.
I think,
and there are other games, you know, other times in his career, he's dealing with a toe injury or a knee injury that has prevented him from scrambling, ankles, everything. And the Giants play a good chunk of man coverage, which dictates some quarterback scrambling too, on top of that. Okay, another big call for you is Caleb Williams is your quarterback 3 against the Dallas Cowboys. He's quarterback 8 in consensus rankings. They are underdogs at home to the Dallas Cowboys, but they're still projected to score, what, like 24 and a half points this week?
Yeah, it's almost at 25. They're top 6 in projected points. The Bears are 5th in neutral pass rate. They can't run the ball, so everything's kind of on Caleb Williams' shoulders. Caleb Williams also scrambling very well. He's 3rd in scramble yards. So now we have what? They're calling a lot of pass attempts. He's scrambling. They're projected for a lot of points. The Cowboys defense has been pathetic. And then on top of that, they're snapping the ball really quickly, getting up to the line of scrimmage and playing really fast pace. And same thing with the Cowboys. So this is like an eruption spot all the way through. Deron Bland's not going to be playing in this one as well. Dallas is 3rd worst in EPA allowed. He got shredded by freaking Russell Wilson. So it's fastest paced game of the week. It's got a high scoring game and he runs.
Cowboys have allowed the most scramble yards in the NFL through 2 weeks on top of that too. Yep. Yeah. I mean, Caleb right now, he just has 12.4 and 14.3 passing points in the first two games. Now, some of that is because he's, you know, running in touchdowns, which, you know, would then take away opportunities to throw them. My big question is, can he complete the same vertical shots like Russell Wilson did last week? Because that has been honestly an issue in Caleb Williams' game as soon as he stepped foot in the NFL. He's been one of the least accurate passers on those downfield passes. And yeah, if he does that, if it magically clicks this week, then yeah, we could have a massive, massive game here for Caleb.
Yep. If he stripped away the name, everybody would rank him super aggressively. So
on the opposite end, he's your quarterback 4. This is Dak Prescott at the Chicago Bears. Look, if Dak has time in the pocket and he's even throwing against pressure, but even when he's not, it's even better. And right now, Chicago, despite investing in the defensive line and edge rushing group, they're 31st in pressure rate right now at 19%. Oh.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that bad up front for them, too. The secondary, Jalen Johnson on IR, their CB1, Kyler Gordon, their slot corner, hamstring injury, even like their linebacker hamstring hasn't practiced.
So that's George Pickens and then CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb slot, George Pickens outside.
Hey, don't forget about Jake Ferguson, who's just been eaten.
True.
We'll get to him later on the show against a backup linebacker there. So, you know, I mean, this is very fraudulent, but the Bears have allowed the NFC player of the week to both quarterbacks that they face. And Dak Prescott is better than both of them. He's been excellent. Now, the big caveat here is this is a week where the first week where they don't have their starting center, and he's a good player.
Yep.
But Dak's been handling everything so well right now that I tended to just not even care about it.
Yeah, and when the Bears don't get pressure, they've allowed a 76% completion rate and 8.8 yards per attempt. So fire it up, Dak. Let's go. Speaking of firing it up, that has not happened so far for your quarterback five. This is Jalen Hurts against the Los Angeles Rams. Boy, do I miss the days of, you know, single high stuff, forcing that, launching bombs down the field. The Eagles, as I continue to mention, have the fewest plays of 15 or more yards and the fewest, tied for the fewest, of 20 or more yards. That is 5-3 at this point. We're about to talk about the Rams on the opposite end of that. They are the most 15-yard and 20-yard plays. I think it changes this week. I understand the Rams defense is good, but I also think that this is now the spot where, you know, Jalen Hurts and the new OC feel like, okay, we have to actually try to throw the football down the field.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, because I was going to say, like, I hear everybody on how this thing has looked. We've also had this conversation every single year, and then there's...
Well, but it hasn't been this boring.
No, dude, everyone can go find their favorite podcast, including ours, and go talk about how dreadful the Eagles offense
has been. It hasn't been like last in the league in plays of 15 and 20 yards. Like, they are dead last in the league, and he has thrown literally like two passes beyond 15 yards on the field.
It could be slightly worse. I don't care. And then what happens? And then what happens is then they're just the best offense in the league all of a sudden too. So yeah, like, they're projected for not nearly as many points at 24, and I use that a lot. They are snapping the ball the slowest rate in the NFL in between plays. They're 31st in neutral pass rate. Is all that stuff fun? No, it's not. He's throwing the ball underneath a lot. Like, none of it makes sense. But at any point, this is the Super Bowl MVP, and this thing can turn around. And he also gets tush pushes, which will be the talk of the town this week as well. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm mainly talking about, not from a fantasy standpoint. He's obviously going to get there from a fantasy standpoint. I'm more just talking about a, you know, offensive philosophy standpoint, where right now he's only thrown 18% of his passes 10 or more yards on the field. That's the lowest rate in the league. His previous career low was 30%.
I think Kurt Warner put it well. I don't even think he was talking about Hurts in particular, but he said that he would want his quarterback to average one interception per game if that meant that you are just ripping shots down the field. And I think that's kind of been the thing that the Eagles have been trying to avoid. And guess what?
Right.
They're what, 18-0 or whatever the hell it is with Saquon, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Devontae Smith out there. So it's been working. I think it could be better than what it's been, but
right.
Maybe they've heard the criticism. They say, you know what, let's get after it this week.
I keep bringing up when these two teams played, you know, twice last season, and Saquon had four carries of 60-plus yards. In that final game, though, against this Rams defense, Jalen Hurts did take 7 sacks in that game. 7 sacks. So just something to keep in mind here. And let's say, Hayden, we are wrong, and it doesn't change this week. Then should we have a bit of a conversation of going from Kellen Moore to new OC Kevin Petullo and what they are trying to do offensively at this point? Would that be fair?
Maybe. I feel like it looks like the same kind of offense, and then Jalen Hurts just turned down a couple throws, but he's done that in previous stops. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'll let everyone panic about the Eagles, and then eventually it'll start paying off. I'm more panicked about the fantasy wide receivers where you were drafting them. Totally.
And
justified.
And just, you know, being a fun team.
I agree. But they win football games, man. I don't know what to tell you guys.
Again, those are two separate conversations almost. Like, Right. Hey, let's get, you know, the wide receivers and all this money that you're investing in offense to play a fun and explosive offense. Because they have also done that with this group too. Like,
for sure.
Again, if it doesn't happen this week, I do believe there is a potential conversation with the new OC and how they are diagramming and, you know, designing things versus Kellen Moore, who's really good, and they won a Super Bowl with that.
Yeah, I agree. But okay. I feel like I've had this
again,
conversation.
I think it changes this week.
Yeah, okay.
Justin Herbert, quarterback 6 against the Denver Broncos. Yeah, fun team. Talk about throwing the football down the field, Hayden. That's why they're fun.
They sure are fun. And what's new about Herbert is he's healthy, which has meant that he's had the fourth most scramble yards, which we have not really seen from Herbert, but he's capable of doing that. So that's a new wrinkle. Number one initial pass rate by a million. the Broncos are a good defense. This is a bad matchup in general, but at least last year, Herbert had 9.2 and then 7.0 yards per attempt games, and then had 8 carries in one of them. That's like one way that you can kind of pick apart the Broncos is a little bit more scrambled opportunities there. So to me, so like he's too good with this many pass attempts plus the scramble stuff to like really fail, even in a bad matchup.
Zach Allen needs to have a good game on the interior, and then they need to kind of expose the Chargers right tackle a little bit here, I feel, in order to like get Justin Herbert a bit more uncomfortable. And they have the pass rushers, I think, to do it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Daniel Jones is here as your quarterback 7. You just talked about the Denver Broncos defense. That was zero problem for Daniel Jones last week. And now he is on the road, but against the Tennessee Titans defense.
Right. Yeah. If you look at the EPA charts that I posted for the pass game, this is an eruption spot for Mr. Jones here. He has not punted the football once. The offense looks, the offensive line looks good. Shane Steichen has Daniel Jones in full command here. Sneaky part for Daniel Jones, 7 quarterback sneaks so far, only trailing Jalen Hurts. Remember, Shane Steichen comes from Philadelphia and Daniel Jones is massive. So that's going to be like another little element. We might get some goal line touchdowns from him. He can definitely run around as well. And I mentioned this for Michael Pittman, Legarius Sneed, their cornerback 1 on the injury report with a back injury on top of that. So let's keep this thing moving. Like they're going to punt the ball eventually, but I do think like a lot of what's happening here is like pretty sustainable.
So the league average rate right now for quarterbacks to be blitzed is 26%. Daniel Jones has been blitzed on 62% of his dropbacks through 2 games. I think it's because, you know, defense coordinators have years of tape on Daniel Jones. They're like, hey, if we pressure you, then you're not going to do well. I think he was pressuring like his first dropback last week and then threw an absolute rope and dime over the middle of the field and bought some time for himself. So it truly, we see this all the time. It's why I talk about environment so often when it comes to quarterbacks. Like when Andrew Thomas is out or you're on the bad New York Giants, you don't have trust when there is pressure and you don't know where to go with the football. You don't have answers. And then so far, Daniel Jones has been great when blitzed and even great under pressure. And he probably just trusts, you know, a pass catching group, including Tyler Warren, that is awesome, and his coach and Shane Steichen to give him answers when he is pressured. And that's what we're seeing here with Daniel Jones so far.
He's like sliding in the pocket the last seconds, ripping balls down the field. Like it's really impressive stuff.
Baker Mayfield, your quarterback 8. We've had this conversation on multiple shows this week, but they are now without Cody Mauch at one of their guard spots after already losing Luke Adeke in the game, with already Tristan Wirfs being sidelined for at least 2 more games. Baker, his rushing is at a career high right now. Last year, that was at 22 yards per game. So far, he's had 39 and 33 rushing yards in these contests.
Yeah, he's like limping around and then getting up and talking shit. It's just the best. So this is, and also Emeka Buka is like dealing with an injury too. We don't know like the severity of it. I think he's going to play, but that's something else to monitor. For whatever reason, like nobody cares that they have all these offensive line injuries. They're still 5th in projected points right now. Jermaine Johnson, their edge rusher for New York, hasn't practiced much. We'll see if he's going to play in this one. But yeah, cluster injuries, but maybe that makes Baker want to take off a little bit more. It feels like we could have like a little bit of a setback at some point, but I've already like knocked him down versus his team total projection here. So I can't double count that.
Before we go any further, I want to remind you that one of the coolest things that Underdog does is the Dog Bowl every single year. People qualify by winning, you know, the Dog Bowl Battle Royales every single week. Now, those are drafts, and actually Underdog this year is launching the Pick'em Dog Bowl on top of it. I'm sure producer Weaves is throwing some graphics and tweets on the screen for you. This is how to enter the Dog Bowl Pick'em. 1, you click the link and enter your Underdog username, and then 2, you apply a token to an all NFL touchdown only entry inside the app, and the highest winning multiplier moves on to round 2, which is in week 11. Now, some people are going like absolutely crazy with these multipliers, going for like 60x or 100x. We would suggest something around like the 10x to 20x. Again, it's all touchdown entries, but have fun doing it. The Dog Bowl is one of the coolest things, again, that we do all season long. And we all get together. I was there last year. Hayden will be there most likely this year. And then it's, again, with some of your favorite people in the industry on top of that, too.
I like George Pickens, Matthew Golden. Start that out.
Love that. I even had, like, Bijan Robinson and Saquon on top of that. There's your 4. There's your 4 to play.
See you
and
again.
If you win, you can go shake Hayden's hand in Kansas City this December. There it is. Jordan Love is your quarterback 9. This is at the Cleveland Browns. Speaking of being blitzed, Love has been blitzed on 45% of his dropbacks at the second highest rate in the NFL, only behind Daniel Jones. To me, I think that teams know that he wants to hold on to the football and launch passes down the field. So he's not really like replacing the blitz immediately where it's coming from. But at the same time, it really hasn't mattered because this Packers team looks awesome through 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's a complete outlier how he plays quarterback. But it's really fun to watch. I will say like the Packers offense has been good and also unlucky, you know, like that Jaden Reed play didn't count. There's a couple misses down the field. Like the Packers have been the best team in the NFL through 2 weeks. And there's been what, 4 or 5 potential super long touchdowns that like we have not even counted, which I know that Jordan Love could hit. Those are some weird plays like rushed fourth down attempts and whatnot. What I've been watching for is Zach Tom and Aaron Banks. That's their right guard and right tackle. Two very good players for them. Obviously, super important when you're facing Myles Garrett and the boys. It sounds like they're going to play here, and the Packers are top 6 in projected points. Now, Jordan Love doesn't run as much, so he kind of I usually rank him a little bit lower than the Packers team total. But they're projected for a lot of points, and I can see them putting it out there. One-on-one situations, like single high looks against the Cleveland secondary.
Yeah, Browns lead the NFL in rate of man coverage, and Jordan Love has thrown all 4 of his touchdown passes against man coverage this year, too. Drake May is your quarterback 10. This is against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a Steelers defense that might be their worst in the last 100 years.
Yeah, it feels like it. The shower curtains, right? That's the bit that they
go out with. Shower curtains. Wow. Yeah.
The shower curtains. Joey Porter, their top corner, he's been on the injury report. I'm not sure if he's going to play in this one, but even with him, they just got completely diced up by Justin Fields in week one, which feels like a month ago. And then Sam Darnold, 8.9 yards per attempt behind like a bad offensive line. So the Drake May, we have not seen that much quarterback design stuff. Like I think it's at 2, but he can still scramble in situations. And he looks good. I thought that the scheme was pretty solid and the offensive line's been better than expected. So
Alex Highsmith also dealing with a high ankle. Yeah, he's run 10 times for 31 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He could also get 31 yards and a touchdown in this game too. Kyler Murray is your quarterback 11. This is at the San Francisco 49ers, a 49ers defense that I think is kind of retooled a little bit, especially up front with both their first round pass rusher in
Micah Williams.
I was going to say Malik Williams, Michael Williams, and
spells it funky.
And Alfred Collins up front. And yeah, even Robert Saleh is confusing a lot of the opposition when it comes to late defensive line movement. It's been a fun group to watch.
Yeah, and then Nick Bosa is like healthy, ready to go. He's been in and out of the lineup the last couple of years. He's like looking really solid again. So it's a tough spot for Kyler. They're 27th in neutral pass rate. They're 30th in seconds per snap attempt. So he runs still enough. Like the scramble was really cool last week. There's a couple quarterback design stuff, but it's not like as easy as it was back with the Cliff days where it was just like a bunch of zone reads and then a bunch of screens and running with a bunch of tempo and stuff. So the entire structure works against Kyler in fantasy. And like you said, it's a pretty tough matchup. So I think I'm probably around consensus here, but it's harder to find the boom Kyler week based off of just how they play.
Okay. Bo Nix is your quarterback 12. It's been interesting to see all of the charts. Now it's only through 2 weeks, but you know, Ben Baldwin posts the best composite offensive lines and the best pass protecting ones. The Denver Broncos are number 1. And then you look at EPA and this can be team stats and all this type of stuff and environmental stats. And then Bo Nix is like 31st, just above like JJ McCarthy. So those two things like should not be that different, but it speaks to, you know, how Bo Nix really slow start to this season. I do want to add, he was terrible to open last season too.
Correct.
And maybe it turns around here in week 3.
Maybe it does. It better for where I have him ranked. Because like you said, like he's been one of the 3 worst quarterbacks in the league so far. So he's better than that. You're still not seeing that much like full field progressions. You're seeing a bunch of bootleg stuff, a bunch of just like getting the ball out to the flats quickly, all these screen attempts and stuff. So those are all signs that Sean Payton doesn't fully trust him. But you also see some of these like bootleg attempts where the ball is being thrown 70 yards down the field. And that's where Bo Nix ended up being a quarterback 1. It's harder to do in this matchup against the Chargers here. last year, 6.6 and 6.5 yards per attempt against the Chargers. He did run a lot, though, 25 and then 61 yards on the ground. And that's an area where you can kind of pick apart this Chargers defense, one that's at least out without Khalil Mack.
You are well ahead of consensus on your quarterback 13. That is Michael Penix, who is quarterback 18 in consensus rankings against the Carolina Panthers.
I think the Panthers defense is bad. So this could easily be all Bijan touchdowns and it doesn't work out. It could also just be they get down from the 20 yard line and then all of a sudden that Kyle Pitts targets a touchdown or Darnell Mooney scores a 50 yard touchdown and all that type of stuff. I just don't trust
calling a Kyle Pitts touchdown. Holy crap.
You never know nowadays. He looks like he's out there and dominating. Yeah, the Panthers defense already bad. Correct me if I'm wrong. Linebacker out, defensive tackle that they just signed. He's out. And they already don't have that much depth in the secondary on top of that. So it's not looking good for Carolina.
Just like many of you, I am a member at a gym. I typically side with HIIT classes. There's child watch involved. So oftentimes in the 9:30 a.m. class, lots of 30, 40-ish year old women are involved. And they run absolute laps around me. And when I'm done, the next day and the next day, I'm incredibly sore. So what I need to look into is Fitbod, because Fitbod creates a personalized workout routine based on our goals, my goals, fitness level, and available equipment. Workouts actually adapt to your growth, so each workout is challenging enough to push you to make progress. I mentioned being sore. Well, Fitbod also tracks your muscles recovery, so you can avoid burnouts and keep your momentum going. Level up your workout by joining Fitbod today. To get your personalized workout plan, get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free for 7 days at fitbod.me/the show. That's fitbod.me/the show. Sam Darnold is your quarterback 14. This is even bigger. He's quarterback 23 in consensus rankings. This is against the New Orleans Saints. Talk us through this one, because Sam has made some awesome throws like he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers and then has made some bad throws just like he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think this is just a matchup where he can really get it going here. Chase Young hasn't practiced, their top edge rusher. I don't think that the Saints defense is going to be very good. Vegas agrees. The Seahawks are 7th in projected points. So I'm like way down versus the team total for the quarterback rankings because they're, you know, it's going to be a Kenneth Walker week.
Oh, yeah.
But dude, he can rip the ball down the field. Like, we have not seen that like that much so far, but I can see Torrey Horton getting down the field for big plays here. I think this is a matchup at home like that they can take advantage of. And I think Sam Darnold's still a decent quarterback.
A Clint Kubiak revenge game?
It is.
What could go wrong?
I mean, he's going to dice up this Saints defense. He knows
them. Hey, Jared Goff is your quarterback 15. This is at the Baltimore Ravens. Again, we love Jared Goff in domes and as home favorites. He's now on the road, albeit September. You know, it's not December, but September against this Baltimore Ravens defense, and he's underdog here.
Yeah, they're 10th in projected points as a team, and then Jared Goff doesn't add anything with his legs, so that's kind of the foundation for a lot of my running back or my quarterback rankings. On top of that, they're running the ball a ton in neutral situations. They're snapping the ball really late into the play clock, like the second slowest team as well. So there's some things working against Jared Goff. And then also they're just going to be tested more. Like, that offensive line looked really bad against the Packers, looked much better against the Bears. Well, now you get the Ravens, who look a little bit closer to the Packers scale versus the Bears. So I think a tough spot for him.
Trevor Lawrence is here as your quarterback 16. This is against the Houston Texans defense. There's been so much conversation on Trevor Lawrence, just everyone saying he's bad. And then there's conversation of Brian Thomas Jr. that he's been bad. Then there's conversation of Travis Hunter and that he's been bad. I guess to me, the biggest concern would be that with Liam Cohen, who we think is good, if Brian Thomas was playing well and Trevor Lawrence is bad, or if Travis Hunter was playing well and then whoever else is bad, or if Trevor Lawrence was playing great and the other two guys were bad. So at some point, I think all of this is going to click and be good. The only difference is they played the Bengals defense and the Panthers defense to open the season. And now they have to face off against the Houston Texans defense, which I'm not going to say could expose, but could make life much more difficult for this Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line, which is kind of overperformed so far.
Yeah, the challenging part is they're still moving the ball like pretty dang well collectively. It just keeps going to like Dyami Brown, Brenton Strange, Parker Washington and stuff, like all the way to the point where I'm not sure you saw one of our giveaways on the Underdog main account is if Brian Thomas and Travis Hunter have more fantasy points than Dyami Brown and Brenton Strange were given 10 grand away. Like that's how desperate things are going, you know?
They're just giving that to me and you, right? Based on our preseason opinions.
It's the only way we're going to get out of this.
Yes.
But yeah, so it's a tough spot for against the Texans, but they have been moving the ball. It's just like they've been moving the ball to the guys that we don't really care about all too much. So I think that's like ultimately a win. In general. But yeah, Trevor's got to be ready. I think the offensive line is always going to be the weakness of this. And you got some big dudes in Houston chasing you down.
But arguably, it's been a strength so far. And especially in the running game, it's been the strength. So again, we get now the third team. It's been nice to start off against bad teams in the Bengals and the Panthers. And then now it's your real first test, at least defensively. Yep. Okay, Marcus Mariota, people are going to be asking, which of these fill-in quarterbacks should I be streaming here in week three? For you on this list, that means it's big ol' Marcus.
Yeah, the team total is just still really high at 23 points. So it's higher than like a bunch of the other streamers that we're talking about. And he at least could run a little bit. And I think that Cliff's offense, you're always going to get some of that. And then there's just a bunch of talent around him. You know, like Debo Terry is pretty solid in this like really fast paced offense. And that's what Marcus Mariota did, what, like a full decade ago at Oregon. So I think that he's a good fit for what Cliff obviously wants to do. So and then on top of that, at home, the Raiders are traveling for an early game on short rest. They played on Monday night. I don't think that they looked very good on Monday night on defense too. So I think like everything about the situation for Mariota like looks pretty solid. So it just comes down to like how good is he. I didn't love him in Atlanta. I think you were going to mention that like last year he got one start against the Panthers, right? And let him up, but that's the Panthers,
so. Correct.
I mean, this is the Raiders, though. You know, it's the Raiders.
I was a big Marcus guy. And then he, you know, he was one of those players who had all the tools and including athleticism, but he couldn't really color outside the lines. He wasn't an abstract player at all. He was very robotic. So to me, maybe Cliff allows him to feel comfortable enough. That's good. He understands like these are his like last starts. You know, every opportunity is a chance to actually like make something happen versus being scared of trying something and coloring outside the line. So if that's the case, like it wouldn't shock me at all if Marcus is a top 12 quarterback this week.
That'd be nice. I was like looking up how old he is, because you could have told me he's 35 or 29. He's 31. Seems like forever ago that he was relevant, man.
CJ Stroud is here as your quarterback 18 against the previously mentioned Jacksonville Jaguars. He has not scored better than quarterback 22 so far this season. So what gives you confidence this week?
I think Jacksonville's defense is like all right, but nothing too crazy. He can play better than he has before. I think every single week as the season progresses, their offensive line is probably going to get this much better. So there's like no stat that I can point to, and there's not like a bunch of throws that I'm pointing to, but from this season. But I know that CJ Stroud's still a decent player. So
yeah, I think CJ's a good player. He's just not as good as he was during his rookie year. And, you know, I think more of those, especially placement issues, have popped up here. And then everyone got very mad at at Bobby Slowick over the last couple seasons. But Nick Caley has not pulled some of the levers that some of the best offenses in the league have so far over the last few years. I mean, in two games so far, they have used pre-snap motion on just 31% of dropbacks. Under Slowick, that was at 55 and 59%. And then the play action rate has been cut in half, down to about like 11% at this point. And then I just looked. If I were to ask you what the Texans' red zone touchdown success rate is, what would you say?
Can't be that good. I don't know, 30%.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah, really not good.
They don't have a red zone touchdown at this point.
Yeah.
And everyone else in the league does. They're 32nd. So that's not fun.
Nope. It is weird with him, though. The yards per attempt numbers, 7.0, 8.6. It's just been like the touchdowns. You had the one interception that he had and installing out in the red area like you're talking about. So yeah, it's not completely Jover. You just look at the yards per attempts, 7.7. Like, that's pretty solid. But he gets sacked and put there's in bad situations all the time, you know.
Okay. Matthew Stafford is next up for you as your, let me pull it up here, quarterback 19, starting the next tier. This is at the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you would like to know that you are ahead of consensus here. Quarterback 26 in consensus rankings. You're seven spots above.
He's looking really good. You know, I think the Eagles defense is good. It's not as good as it was the previous year, where they had a couple better pieces in the secondary and a couple better pieces at edge rusher and across the defensive line with Milton Williams. So I think that they're equipped to take advantage of the couple little weaknesses that Philadelphia has. When you have like three really good players and an elite play caller, that's kind of all you need to kind of pick apart some teams. So I think that the Rams could like just straight up win this game. I think it'll be a close one. I'm very excited to watch it. But 24th in projected points as a team feels, I think, a little bit disrespectful for what I've seen from this healthy version of Matthew Stafford. And they're fourth in neutral pass rate on top of that.
We will move on. Well, I mean, I do have some notes. I did mention with the Eagles how they're last in 15 and 20 yard explosive plays. The Rams are number one. They have 19 plays of 15 or more yards and then 12 of 20 or more yards right now. The cool thing, and I think you might have just mentioned this, maybe you didn't. I tuned you out for a second, my bad. They have gone back to, and Robert Mays pointed this out, they've gone back to like old school Jared Goff, Sean McVay stuff a little bit with the pure dropback game from under center. I mean, 65% of his dropbacks have been under center so far this year. That's the highest rate in the league. The league average is around 30%. What makes that fascinating is what halted all that momentum of Jared Goff. Again, Robert pointed this out in the Athletic Football Show, is facing a Vic Fangio defense and then facing the Detroit Lions, Matt Patricia, and then obviously the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But like, this was the matchup that started the blueprint. So I do wonder if
here comes that cycle.
Yes, if that starts that cycle this year.
Yeah. I think this game, calling my shot, I think this game goes way over. I think both, you'll get explosive plays out of both teams here, and the offenses, I think, are going to show up to the party here. So
Geno Smith is your quarterback 20. This is at the Washington Commanders. A rough week for Geno when everyone was watching the tape lords. That's not fun for them when, you know, on quarterback rankings, he's high, high up there. And then when the masses watch Geno, he throws three picks and looks miserable.
Yeah, we're officially on Geno Smith timeout until we get a primetime dub here. Nobody will care that in this one, he looks good on the morning slate across the country. So we'll see. I think the Commanders defense is, I think they're kind of vulnerable in the back seven. You know, have you seen Bobby Wagner run over the middle? Like, go ask Tucker Kraft if he's scared of Bobby Wagner. And then Lattimore has been like feasted upon. Like, they're like targeting Lattimore right now too. So they need those two guys to be really good. It would be helpful if Brock Bowers was fully healthy. I don't think he's going to be for the next couple of weeks. So that's concerning. But yeah, man, like, pour one out for me and the Geno Smith truthers out there. We're officially on timeout.
It's still fun. I still like seeing him rip it down the field. Mac Jones is your quarterback 21 here. This is against the Arizona Cardinals defense, a Cardinals defense that throws a ton of stuff at opposing offenses. You always have to know where Buda Baker is on the field. And then they just have some really creative stuff off of him, including three safety sets and everything. But Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure, has been in the lab this week.
Well, also now all those players that you do the funky stuff with that have been starters for the last couple of years, and then you add Will Johnson in the draft, they're all hurt. So like, now you're going to ask like a bunch of backups to like do the funky stuff. Like, that seems like asking for some busted coverages. So I thought Mac played with a lot of anticipation. He's not going to throw on the run. He's going to take a miserable sack. His ball placement is up and down, but he can run this offense. And I think that Shanahan's going to carve him up.
Ooh. I mean, do we think Mac starts? Do we think Brock could start?
I think there's a chance Brock starts, but I would let Mac go one more week and then not have like a setback from Brock Purdy. I think that Mac can handle it. He showed enough last week to get this one done.
Russell Wilson is next for you. This is against the Kansas City Chiefs. We've talked about the game against the Cowboys, which was very different than the game in week one. What Russ are we going to get this week?
you tell me if Andrew Thomas is back in this one. I don't know. I saw a report that maybe Andrew Thomas is going to like play, but be in a rotation in his first game back. They got like a sleeper offensive lineman who's gone from right side to left side, even played some guard in college. The note that I had for Russ is the Giants, very sneakily, third in neutral pass rate so far. So now they've been in like some comeback modes, and like a little bit of the neutral stuff is a little bit kind of wonky there in a small sample, but they've been throwing the ball downfield. I think like that's going to open up more boom weeks than people are going to give credit for Russ.
I mentioned this in the wide receiver ranking show that the Chiefs have only allowed one completion on 8 attempts of throws 20 plus yards down the field. And also on, it's either Sunday night recap or stats versus film, that when Russ last year had that ridiculous game against Cincinnati where he also threw for over 400 yards, then he never threw for more than 217 yards the rest of the season. So I do wonder if he can, you know, top 250 this week. And in the environments that you're talking about, then he probably should. But it's a very tough one. I understand that maybe a Steve Spagnuolo-led defense isn't exactly the same without Justin Reed and a few of these other pieces. But it's still Spags, and it's still that pass rush, and especially Chris Jones up front versus, mm-hmm. you know, some of the Giants' weaknesses.
Yeah, block Chris Jones, and I think everything else kind of falls in line.
Yeah. No hokey pokey for Russ in the pocket this week. No hokey pokey. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's just your two favorite guys. Here is quarterback 23. This is at the New England Patriots. Patriots defense without Christian Gonzalez so far, kind of getting torn up. A league high 10.3 yards per pass attempt, a league high 12.2 yards per completion, and a 76% completion rate. But again, that could change if Christian Gonzalez is back for this one.
I think it will change. I'm kind of surprised at the team total for the Steelers at 23.25 points. So they're road favorites in this one. I don't know. I think this offense has been like kind of fun. They made a couple big plays, but some of it feels a little bit unsustainable. Like I'm not sure how much you can do, like the tight end little flick passes and then Jaylen Warren just truck sticking everybody. We'll see. He still can't move, but it's still like Rodgers. If he's going to push the ball down the field a little bit more and take some shots, I think that would be the wrinkle that he did not show with the Jets, where he was like so quick to just dirt the ball. Where maybe another year removed, he's going to take a couple more downfield shots. And that's where the Patriots have been kind of gashed in the secondary, obviously, without Gonzalez in those ones, though.
Carson Wentz is your quarterback 24. You had Justin Jefferson as a top three wide receiver this week. Carson Wentz is the one throwing in the football, and this is against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, Shamar Stewart just saw he's been ruled out with an ankle injury. That's a first-round edge rusher. Cam Taylor-Britt, their corner, he's not going to be out there as well. So yeah, Carson Wentz dealing with some backups on his offensive line, but there's also not that much pass rushers or guys to cover Justin Jefferson. So I'm just looking at it like long history of Kevin O'Connell with veteran quarterbacks getting the job done. And Carson Wentz, there's very few more veteran quarterbacks than he is. And hopefully he's just like healthier than what he was. Like his last couple starts, like he was just a shell of himself. Like now that he hasn't played in a long time, hopefully he can at least move around. He hasn't been hit in forever. So cautiously optimistic for Carson.
Okay. Your next backup quarterback on the list is Jake Browning. When I went back and looked at his numbers and where he ranked among quarterbacks in his 7-6 starts from week 12 through week 17 back in 2023, I think people will be stunned. Oh, yeah. He had 5 top 10 scoring weeks of the 7 that he started. Now, you're obviously not anticipating that at all. I think some of that was just a boatload of touchdowns and some rushing numbers on top of it. But that is kind of bananas. And if you play any form of DFS, a huge edge could be going towards Jake Browning here.
Yeah, I'm not ruling it out. Like all these guys, what makes quarterbacks ranking so hard is like Jake Browning's at 15.7 expected points, according to the Underdog Pick'em Lobby. All the guys we've talked about are like at 16. So like there's really very little difference between all these guys. With this one, it's just you're going into Minnesota against Brian Flores. That seems like a lot. And right now, the Bengals are 26 in projected points. So if he starts running around and stuff, like that's like a new element, then I'll have to like reconsider this one moving forward. But it just seems like a lot to go into Brian Flores' house.
Okay, I know you have more tight end notes. So do you want me just to throw everyone up on the screen? And if there's one of these names you want to talk about, we can go through it.
You don't want to talk about Bryce Young?
No, we can. There's, I can do Bryce right now. This is against the Atlanta Falcons. Bryce is, I think, quarterback 19 right now. The Panthers cannot run the football at all. And, you know, they're trailing a lot of these games. And that's where a bunch of passing points are coming from at the end of games.
Garbage time king. He's good enough for garbage time. And he can scramble around. We've seen that last year and this year. No center, no right guard in this one. But I also think the Falcons defense a little bit overrated, especially without A.J. Terrell. So,
yeah. The underlying metrics for the Falcons defense has been unreal
wild
so far this year.
Wild. Yeah, two-game sample size, iffy opponents. So don't want to read into it too much. But, yeah, he needs the garbage time because they're 29th in projected points.
Tyrod Taylor, do we want to talk about him, or should we just throw everyone on the board now?
Fire everybody up.
Okay.
Here.
It's then very, it's Cam Ward for you, then Spencer Rattler, and we close out things with Joe Flacco. I mean, ranking this late doesn't include the entertainment factor, you know, because Cam Ward is entertaining, and then I think Spencer Rattler is entertaining too.
Mm-hmm. Flacco's somewhat entertaining too.
No.
Maybe not
against Green Bay this week.
Not against the Packers. I'll say we might see some Dylan Gabriel this week.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the tight ends. They are already on the board. So Trey McBride and Tyler Warren are the top two names. I'm not sure if there's anything else to add there. They are not carbon copies of each other, but the focal points of their passing games quite a bit right now. And we really haven't had like a huge Tyler Warren run after catch splash play yet. And that would be cool if we get one of those this week.
Nope, but he's 25% target share. It's only trails Trey McBride. He's got three screen attempts. And then that one where he was like lined up, motioned into as a fullback, ran in between, like it was like the A gap or B gap, and then went behind the linebackers for a chunk play. So that's like just Shane Steichen getting one of his best players the ball. So Trey McBride's at 62.5 projected yards. Everybody else, including Tyler Warren, is at 43, 35. You know, it's
Tyler Warren's only at 43.
Trey McBride by himself, and then you get to everybody else.
Stunned to hear that about Tyler Warren. I mean, he is going to get fed touches every single week, no matter what. And that's against the Giants defense. Okay. No, sorry. That's the next guy we're talking about here in Travis Kelce. This is against the Giants defense. He's got a, like, Xavier Worthy's playing this week, but Travis Kelce, we discussed this kind of with Matthew Golden. If Travis Kelce catches one of those red zone touchdowns, maybe the conversation would be a little bit different around him.
I think he's moving much better this year than he did last year. He's had the focus drops. So let's keep the head in the game here, Mr. Kelce. But I mean, he's been running by like Cooper DeJean. You obviously had that chunk play where I think Next Gen Stats on the like kind of like leak route where he was wide open. Like he was running the fastest he has in a long time. You also go from like Henley and Derwin James, Zach Bond and Cooper DeJean into whatever we're going to say about the Giants. Like we're talking about, those are four Pro Bowl, all pro caliber guys.
Drew Phillips, our guy Drew Phillips.
I love myself some Drew Phillips. Is he Derwin James? He's not. And like I said, the Chiefs are projected for a bunch of points in this one. He is not the same player. He's also running faster this year than he did last year. So I'm not writing him off.
Brock Bowers is not running faster than he did last year. Brock Bowers has a bionic leg right now, and it's not fun to watch because the Raiders aren't going to be as good if he's slightly limited, even if his, you know, 80% is as good as other people's 100%.
Yeah, for sure. 21% targets, not a full-time player, but more of a full-time player with one leg than with two legs for whatever reason. Yeah, if he's playing through PCL injury, MCL injury, like these things kind of linger and you're just not as effective until like you're fully healthy. So I'm docking him a little bit.
Tucker Kraft is here. It kind of sounds like Tucker Kraft is not going to play this week. That was a weird 1 hour on Twitter on Thursday where we got one of those, you know, national insider posts that typically comes with he suffered a major injury and he's going to be held out for extended time. And then an hour later, it's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. He might just miss this week.
Yeah. Who knows? It doesn't sound like he's going to play, but thankfully he's not going like on injured reserve or anything like that. So we'll see. It was going to be a fun matchup. Kim versus Carson Schlesinger over the middle, second round rookie, a Bruin who actually liked, was going to be fun. He had like the easiest matchup on paper out of anybody. So it was kind of a bummer for Tucker Kraft. I think Luke Musgrave is going to play not all the snaps, but enough snaps to like get him in the mix. So I don't have him ranked right now, but I would go Musgrave over Janu, probably put him like right by Zach Ertz. So I think there's some better options than Musgrave, but I do think that Musgrave can like really run. And this is a matchup where you're kind of best off against their safeties and linebackers than their Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward.
Jake Ferguson and even Juwan Johnson. This is 6 and 7 for you. Jake is getting fed over the middle, and then Juwan Johnson is getting fed everywhere, even if he drops a couple passes. I just want to reiterate that Juwan Johnson stuff is real. They are doing like 3-by-1 sets with him as an isolated player. It's red zone stuff. It's rub routes. They view him as a legit like wide receiver weapon in this team.
Yeah, he's got a 25% target share. A lot of those are like first read targets too, like you said. He's the PPR scam of the year, and I think it's sustainable. And the reminder is he was a wide receiver at Oregon. You know, like one guy kind of breaking the mold. Like
he was Tyler Shapp's teammate at Oregon.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. that's insane.
He's in year 6 and Tyler Shuck's in year 1.
Jesus. Wild. But I think it's for real. Now it's a tough matchup in Seattle versus Jake Ferguson in like the easiest matchup this week. So but both of them are really really strong plays.
The rest of this list, Sam LaPorta. I'm stunned to see Mark Andrews on here this high after all the negative and zero positive words you've had about him. And then T.J. Hockenson's next.
There's a pretty big drop off from Juwan to the rest of the group. Got it. You know,
LaPorta's still like fine. I think LaPorta and after that is a decent drop off.
Yeah, LaPorta's playable for sure. But that's a tough matchup for him, you know, against all those Baltimore Ravens. Mark Andrews, it sounds like Isaiah Likely's trending towards playing. I'm going to have to move Mark Andrews down a couple spots once that gets confirmed. He's an 8% target share. So like if Isaiah Likely's going to like get him off the field for 20% snaps too, like that's going to be like really worrying for Mark.
Kyle Pitts deserves to be in the top 12 tight ends. I did some digging because last year, you know, this team was locked in 3 wide receiver sets, and that included Ray McLeod at 87% of snaps, by far and away first in the NFL. Then in week 2, we can't really look at week 1 because Darnell Mooney wasn't there, but in week 2, when all 3 of the wide receivers were healthy, they still only ran 11 personnel, 3 wide receiver sets, 12% of the time. That's dead last in the NFL. So it's totally, totally flipped. So Kyle Pitts kind of passed the wide receiver test in a way. The other part of this too is Charlie Werner's missing time this week. I'm not sure if they want to get Kyle Pitts involved as a true edge blocker, but these are just other pathways for him to play and run 100% of routes like he did last week.
They say that Pitts is just much improved as a blocker. He's like put on like a little bit of muscle and that he's holding up in line a little bit better. So there's a lot of positive trends for Kyle Pitts. I think he looks healthier too, which is obviously really helpful. All the caveats last week, the Falcons like did like some really weird stuff that was against, you know, Minnesota. Just a weird stuff could happen against them. So very curious, but everything looks solid for Pitts.
Any other names you want to talk about here? I mean, it's Brenton Strange after that. Then you have Harold Fannin popping up here. Zach Ertz has scored a touchdown, it feels like, in 16 straight games. Anyone else?
I'm going to make the case for Brenton Strange for you. How about that? Wow. Brian Thomas against Derek Stingley. We don't know how much wide receiver Travis Hunter is going to play. Let's say it's 70% of the routes. He's got the easiest matchup over the middle. They talk him up constantly. He's already the tight end 19 so far. And they pass the ball a ton. He's got the easiest matchup of the group. So I think Brenton Strange is like the underrated streamer play. If you have injuries at tight end, I'm joining your side here, Brenton Strange.
I also want to mention that AJ Barner right now is the tight end 20 in fantasy points. That is ahead of Hunter Henry. That is ahead of Chigo Kwankwo. That is ahead of, you know, Pat Freiermuth and Dalton Schultz. So shout out to my guy, AJ Barner. Mm-hmm. Caught a touchdown in week 2. All right. I think that's going to do it. We covered everything. Hopefully you all enjoyed this. Again, just to remind you, on Sunday morning, a start sit show, 11 a.m. Eastern, we answer questions for 2 hours straight. That's all that we do to help you set your lineups and win your fantasy week. And then immediately that night, after Sunday Night Football, the instant reaction show, and we do it all over again on Tuesday. Well, really Monday with waivers, and then Tuesday, stats versus film. So appreciate you. Go and play Pick'em Dog Bowl if you have not before. And we always, always have the witching hour, 3 o'clock Eastern. Your phone should be buzzing when Scott Hansen says, "Hey, now it's the witching hour." Pavlovian response: pick up your phone, dive into the app, and get some discounts in the Pick'em lobby. That does it for us. We'll see y'all next time.